All right, this is Xemini. I'm geared up for a show today. It's about my third or fourth for the season. Then we've had some solid shows to start the year, and hopefully you are subscribing to the podcast either via Podomatic.com or iTunes for Not Just a Game. I try to keep the podcast short, informative, and insightful for the week's games coming up, of course, from a handicapping perspective and fantasy football perspective. You go to notjustagame.com, you'll see plenty of articles every day for fantasy football. My Twitter's also very active, so I like to engage with the readers with any type of questions you may have in that format as well. So make sure on Twitter, if you haven't added me, add me at Simini, Simini, just like Rich Simini. My name's pronounced a little bit different, last name is Simony, but send me an email at notjustagame23 at gmail.com or on Twitter via at Simony. This weekend, definitely we're in week three of the college football season and week two of the NFL. We already saw a game last night between the Jets and Patriots that was another win for the underdog. There's a lot of games every week, so make sure if there's a lot of points like yesterday. I didn't make a play in that game. I mean, it was a game that I would have stayed away. It was a wise decision, obviously, because could have went either way in the first half. The Patriots having a chance to extend the lead 20-3. You just didn't really know with the Patriots supporting cast being so weak right now, who was going to step up. And I'm sure there's going to be some games where those guys can just because of Tom Brady's abilities. But yesterday wasn't one of those games, and obviously Geno Smith, we knew he was going to be sporadic. And he was in the fourth quarter, and that cost the Jets a chance to win the game. So it kind of was a game that 12, 13 points was awfully high, but still, I wasn't willing to take the Jets plus the points. So there's always better games out there, and I thought that for this Thursday's game, that obviously was the case. There's a huge slate of games on Sunday, and I'll go over that here in a little bit. And then college football, I'll give a couple plays out as well. And just remember, I have my picks every day available at notjustagame.com under today's picks. But first, we're going to talk about some fantasy sports key plays of the week. And I'll go off. We'll start with some starters that I think are going to have some good weeks or good games this week. EJ Manuel, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, he gets a good matchup this weekend against the Carolina Panthers. And almost three saying, what, a good matchup? I think so because. The Bills do a very good job. Doug Marrone, he can make a simple game plan flourish for a quarterback. He did it for years at Syracuse with Ryan Nassib. It's very simple, but he'll make sure he gets enough quick screens, quick slants, and a couple of decent plays to make sure that he has a semi-mediocre fantasy output for those that are in extremely deep leagues. The other one I'll say is Terrell Pryor. I think he's going to continue to flourish of what he did on week one. Jacksonville Jaguars are by far the worst team in the NFL, just like Adam Schefter said the other day, and it's not going to get any better. I mean, it's a team that got rocked all year last year at home, and it started this year getting rocked at home. So you can't bring back Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith or Fred Taylor. It's going to be quite a long time before Jacksonville is able to be a team that even gets close to being a 500 team. But Terrell Pryor, you have to like what he did last week against the Colts. He was able to stand in the pocket, deliver some key throws when he needed to, and then the Raiders just mixed up some quality play calls with either the quick screen throw to the receivers or quick hot reads. Those receivers are able to get open, and then, of course, rolling him out in the pocket and either making him create with his legs or buying him some time to throw down the field. And he did really well with that against the Colts. And I don't see the Jaguars being able to stop him this week either. The only thing that stopped Pryor last week was his turnovers. So if he hones that in, Oakland should have a pretty good game. And you got to think that Darren McFadden's going to have some games that he supports Terrell Pryor, especially if Pryor keeps running the football as well as he is. I won't say he's going to have 100 yards rushing, but I mean, running quarterback that can run like Terrell Pryor, a good 50, 60 yards is pretty much a given on a weekly basis if he carries the ball 7, 8 times like I would expect him to do. Running backs. Obviously, many of you should know about Steven Jackson playing against his old team, the Rams, this weekend, but I'm going to talk about a couple of backs that I really thought did well in limited action kind of on last week. Eddie Lacy from the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, against the 49ers, you kind of know you're not going to have success running the football. And really the Packers kind of did what they usually do and just chucked the football, let Aaron Rodgers make his plays, which they did a fine job doing. But Eddie Lacy, when he was given a chance, besides the fumble that he had in the first half, he had a couple of nice runs. He finishes hard. He had a touchdown where he extended above the 49ers defense and stretched the ball over. He just had a couple of good runs that I think he's going to be able to build off of, especially going against a Redskins team that is probably going to be more focused on the passing game after what happened last week. And they just look like they're going to need some serious help. And I think this is going to be the type of game, if Green Bay gets out to a bigger lead and they're not playing from behind like they did against the 49ers, they'll be able to establish that run a little bit more. So Eddie Lacy, I like a lot. Another one, I think Ryan Matthews of the San Diego Chargers. San Diego had that game well in hand against the Texans, and what happened is they just put it in Phillip Rivers' hands too much. They need to get more carries to their backfield. It's not a bad backfield with Ryan Matthews, Ronnie Brown, and Danny Woodhead, but they need to stop putting such a huge burden on Phillip Rivers. He just doesn't – if you're throwing the ball that many times, you don't have the quarterback skills as we've seen with Phillip Rivers. He doesn't have the decision-making that he used to, as he's going to try to force the ball in there. So I think Ryan Matthews, if he gets an opportunity, which if San Diego wants any chance of winning this game, they're going to have to run the ball a little bit more. So look for Ryan Matthews to have a solid, decent game as well. And wide receivers and tight ends, I think Jared Cook, a tight end of St. Louis, is going to continue to rise in the tight end rankings. I mean, the St. Louis Rams using him exactly opposite of the way the Tennessee Titans did. Tennessee liked to simplify the passing game, didn't throw it downfield that much, and they had a lot of – they used their tight ends more to block than to be a receiving asset. But St. Louis, they're trying to boost the confidence of their number one pick, Sam Bradford, a few years ago, and they're going to be able to do that with a guy like Jared Cook, who should have scored 3 touchdowns against the Cardinals last week. And he had a great preseason as well. And that's the type of stuff that builds the confidence in a quarterback when he knows he has a reliable tight end like Jared Cook over the middle. And just expect another good week from Jared Cook as they play the Atlanta Falcons this weekend, who's not – they're an okay defense, but they definitely tend to give up big plays to the tight end. One other wide receiver I'll mention, I'll talk about Kyle Williams from the San Francisco 49ers. Colin Kaepernick's accuracy is mind-boggling to me on the plays that he's able to make with his eyes and his reads. He'll throw a receiver open with the best of them. He's almost better than Peyton Manning right now. And he just has a rapport with Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis, and Kyle Williams right now. And I think Kyle Williams is the one that people are kind of leery about right now, because he's kind of he went from special teamers to fourth receiver last year, and now he's kind of in that second to third role right now, but he's more of the second receiver there because the guys that San Francisco has right now just aren't going to cut it at receiver besides Anquan Boldin. So Kyle Williams has that connection with his quarterback Colin Kaepernick, and with Michael Crabtree out, there's going to be more and more opportunities for Kyle Williams to have some breakout games. And I think this week right here, against Seattle, who has a good secondary, but might be a little bit overrated as far as I'm concerned. They might gear up to stop Anquan Boldin just because of what he's been doing, and that's going to leave some opportunities for Kyle Williams, who has some very good speed out there and might be able to have a big play or two in this game. So those are some players to think about. Others that I mentioned in my article, Rod Streeter of the Oakland Raiders, Michael Floyd of the Arizona Cardinals, and Brian Hartline of the Miami Dolphins. So go ahead and make sure if you've got those guys in your bubbles of starting, make sure you get them in your lineups, because I think they'll do all right for you this weekend. Sit 'ems this week at quarterback. I think Sam Bradford might have a decent game, but I didn't put him in there for week 2. Sit 'em just in case the hostile environment's too much for him. I wouldn't say that he's a standout sit 'em, but if you have a better option, obviously, let's put somebody else in your lineup this week. Ryan Tannehill, a lot of people are high on the Dolphins right now, and I'm a Dolphins fan myself. And since Dan Marino left, basically when they are on that cusp of getting to that next level, they hit a wall, whether it's a losing streak, whether it's a bad plays, whatever it may be. And Ryan Tannehill, I think this week going up against Andrew Luck, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. to outplay Andrew Luck. And many people might think the opposite way of this, but I'm going to think it affects Tannehill more just because he doesn't have the same time on the field that Andrew Luck does with his receivers and Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, and his tight ends. Tannehill doesn't have a tight end he's used to throwing to. He's got Mike Wallace crying already. He's still getting used to Brandon Gibson, so that leaves his main target as Brian Hartline, who had an outstanding week last week, but defenses can shut down Brian Hartline if they want to. So Tannehill's the type of guy. I like him, but I think this week against the Colts is probably wise to have him take a seat. Some running backs, but Jarvis Green, Ellis, he's just really sporadic right now. More of that role that he had with New England when he was just the dynamic threat on getting into the end zone. That's the main value that you have with him. So, I mean, for now, hopefully he's your third or fourth running back because he's not worth even inserting in your lineup for a flex play right now. I'm also going to say DeMarco Murray. You know, Jason Garrett's been on this staff for quite a while. In the post-game interviews last week, he was harping on Dallas needs to have a more balanced attack. Well, Jason, you had the chances last year. Didn't happen. So why are we creating a fuss in week one just because the balance was a little bit off? I think what we have here is a back in DeMarco Murray who the Dallas Cowboys don't want to overburden like they did last year. We had a couple of nagging injuries. He hasn't had that same type of output that he had once as a rookie with his 200-yard game. And he's really just a guy that's not as high as he's not playing to his capabilities. And I don't know if he ever will get to that capability. So DeMarco Murray, until he proves me otherwise, I think he's a borderline number two fantasy back. He has the value in PPR leagues, but in standard leagues, he's not getting enough yards or the touchdowns to recommend putting him in lineups. For wide receivers and tight ends, I'm going to continue to say Brandon Pettigrew is on the way out in Detroit. We saw Christian Fiore get a touchdown from the tight end position for Detroit last week. I think Pettigrew is just on his way out. He hasn't done much in the past since a couple of years ago. And Matt Stafford's starting to look more and more towards his other options. So Brandon Pettigrew, he's almost in that zone of cutting as a tight end. But obviously being on Detroit, you want to wait just a little bit because Detroit's going to continue to throw the football and throw it aggressively. James Jones, also a wide receiver from Green Bay, he just dropped a wide open play against the 49ers, bobbled the ball, 49ers picked it off, could have brought it back further if he wasn't ruled down by contact, but James Jones continues to be a guy that's not reliable, and right now with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb at the status that they are, just downgrades James Jones tremendously. So James Jones, have him take a seat for you this week. Once again, if you have any questions, go ahead and submit me an email at notjustagame23@gmail.com or at on Twitter at Simony. I'll be more than happy to answer your questions throughout the weekend and into next week if you have questions for your weekly lineups. I'm going to go ahead and get into handicapping segment here. I'll try to keep this quick and under 3 minutes. I've got value plays on the board, on the website. I'll go ahead and give out a couple of free plays as well in college football. I'm going to focus on the nightcap here with ASU and Wisconsin. Actually, no, I won't talk about that game. Central Florida and Penn State. If you watched Penn State the last couple of weeks, you'll notice they've gotten off some pretty bad, slow starts. That's not something that gets fixed overnight. They're a team that played Eastern Michigan and Syracuse. And really, if they were playing anybody with a better offense, they might have found themselves behind by double digits early in the game. I think that's where Central Florida, a better team than both of those teams, is going to be able to get out in front. And that's all I'm waiting for here is a team that gets out in front on Penn State, and that's going to put pressure on their new quarterback, Christian Hackenberg. So I think Central Florida plus the points this week, they might not win outright, but plus 5.5 is good enough for me to take. I hope they can get out to that lead as I expect they do. Another play that I like will be, I'm going to go with this underdog here, University of Texas San Antonio. They really have I just watched a game last week against Oklahoma State, and even though they kind of got blown out and got out of hand, they fought back. They really had two different ways they played in that game. They fought early in the game, stayed in the game for a little bit before Oklahoma State blew it open, and then they came back at the end of the game, make things interesting a little bit from a spread standpoint, scored 35 points total against Oklahoma State. Last week, Arizona really had a laugher against UNLV, where they just ran up the score. I think it was close. They scored 40-something points in the first half, and that's not the type of game that really challenges you in college. So that Arizona starts the season off against NAU and then UNLV, and it's going to be a game where they get tested unexpectedly, and I think this will be the game. We're looking at near 25, 24 points. 26 uncertain lines out there, and I think that's enough value to get a cover either late in the game with the way San Antonio fought back last week, or if they stay in it earlier, maybe they can stay in the game longer than they did last week against Oklahoma State. So those are two plays that I like. As far as the NFL, this is kind of the gimme week. I'm not going to give a play out, but I want to say usually favorites don't look great. But I think this is kind of the gimme week. There's a lot of large spreads out there for a reason. There's a few games that I would don't get sucked into, but there's others that, I mean, it's going to be a wide open affair as mismatches are concerned. One team I would say that you probably would want to stay away from for this week would be Philadelphia, even though they're playing San Diego, I think was absolutely awful in preseason and blew a huge lead. Just don't want to challenge. I don't know if I trust Mike Vick that much right now in the Eagles' offense. I know they did great last week, but that was RG3's fault more than the spread or the Eagles doing what they did. I mean, he missed wide open receivers. We've got to see an offense on the field that gets challenged by the Philadelphia Eagles defense before I take the Eagles for that many points. And it's went from 7.5 to 9.5, and that's just too many points in my eyes. In San Diego, they're known to stay in games. They might not win them, but they stay in games. So that'll be my stay-away game of the week. And like I said, favorites, they look good this week. I know last week the underdogs had the winning week. But if you pick a couple of plays, you'll be able to win some money this week. There's obviously some underdogs I like as well, and I've got a five game package available on notjustagame.com. You can get those plays, or you can get them individually for $30 each. So that's how I'm going to conclude the show for Friday today. It's going to be a big day Saturday. Enjoy the boxing fight tomorrow, and enjoy watching Texas A&M and Alabama. Remember, there's over 40, 50 games on the board for college football, and make sure you're doing your studying appropriately, whether it's first half, second half, or full game lines, over-unders, and enjoy. Thank you.